Hello and welcome to Connectivity 238. I'm your host, Nicholas Bray, and this week I'm joined by Adam Abunasa.
Alola.
And Brian Rose.
Alola.
Oh, you stole it from me.
Hey, you stole it from me in the chat.
I definitely did.
I'm pretty sure that joke has been well used by now. We've had the games the whole year, basically. Okay, so this week we're going to be talking about the latest Pokemon movie, the 20th anniversary film, and we'll also be talking a little bit about Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. But first I thought I'll get you guys have some, you know, relay some of your thoughts on Mario. I know we done an episode a couple of weeks ago, but what do you guys think? What's your general thoughts about Mario, just quickly here?
For me, it's like one of the top games of the year. For me, it's more like with Zelda. I was more amazed by the open scope of the game and the open world concept. For Mario, I just thought it was more fun to like play and progress. And I wouldn't give it like a 10 out of 10 like a lot of the publications did when it was released. I think there's like some problems with it. Like New Donk City is like absolutely the best stage of the game. And there's others that are close to it. Then there are others that are like easily forgettable, like the jungle level I was just wishing I could get through really fast. And then there's a couple of others that don't come to mind because they don't really come to mind once I finish them. Yeah. But throughout the game, it's just there's so much content and so many ideas and really cool ideas, and just different things you wouldn't expect in a Mario game were in there. And for that, I mean, I absolutely love the game. I wouldn't give it. It would be up there for Game of the Year contention. I mean, the two other games I would have up there is like Zelda and. It's not a Nintendo game, but Persona 5 really resonated with me too. Mm-hmm. So, Mario Odyssey is absolutely awesome. It was well worth the wait. It looks awesome. It plays awesome. And I, definitely recommend it.
I think, it's an awful garbage game, but wow. I think that's because I'm at.
You mean it's on the level of Twilight Princess for you, Adam?
No, not quite. The reason that I'm mad at it right now is because okay, so when I was playing through the game, I made sure that I did absolutely everything I could before progressing to the next kingdom.
Yeah.
And then, light spoilers, when you beat the game, you unlock more moons. So then I went back to the beginning and I'm going through doing everything I possibly can before going to the next kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I just got to the volleyball challenge where that was the only two things I skipped were the volleyball to 100 and jump rope to 100.
Yeah.
I definitely cheated to get the jump rope to 100.
How do you cheat to do that? I mean, I know that's the thing I see online all the time is somebody cheating on that, but how do you actually do that?
So, Takatu, if you throw your hat and then talk to him right before it hits him in the back of the head, the camera will lock on him. But if you very quickly roll away, it won't lock on him until you turn towards him. So if you jump in the air and I think ground pound above the jump rope as you turn the camera to look at him, you freeze in the air and the game will just leave you there frozen. Wow. And apparently if you stay there for 16 hours, you get like 9,900, like you fill out the jump counter.
Well, but I did not do that. You should get that star. Right.
Yeah, I just well did earned. 100, and yeah. Then I got a little over 100 because I got stuck in the air. You're supposed to like jump out of it, but
yeah,
I don't know. I was doing it wrong, and
I got the minimum one. I think it's like 20 or something like that.
Yeah, it's like 30. It's really 30. Easy to get as well.
I stopped around 42. That was like my record. And everybody beat me, and I'm kind of sad, but. I mean, hey.
Well, they cheated, if that makes you feel better.
Yeah, and then most of them cheated, so. I did the right
I think
way.
I keep getting to around 60 and then failing that one. I haven't tried it for a while, though.
But yeah, I'm at the volleyball one, and I guess you can cheat at that one because it's way easier to do it two players. So, my friend, every time a Mario commercial comes on or anything, he's like, you know, I should really get a Switch. I really want to play Mario. It looks so much fun. So I'm going to tell him, like, hey, let's play Mario, and then make him do this stupid challenge. Like, that's all you get.
I just kind of ignored Switch. It. I ignored it, and I, like, moved on because I didn't want to do something like the jump rope challenge. I got discouraged by watching other people, like, completely own the jump rope challenge. So I kind of just like, yeah, I don't want to do this volleyball stuff later. I haven't gone back to it since.
But with the actual game, I was a little disappointed with the variety. I didn't like the Cap Kingdom right off the bat. I was like, oh, this looks like Epic Mickey, but like not as good as Epic Mickey, because Epic Mickey is the best game ever.
Reminded me of the Nightmare Before Christmas, really.
Yeah, like yeah, the Kingdom Hearts like level that, yeah. or something. I don't know. It didn't feel like the happy Mario adventure that I was excited for this whole year, you know?
It's something different, but I mean, is it like my favorite level? No.
And that's how they start you, and it was kind of like, ugh. And then they send you to Dinosaur Land. And then later there's another Dinosaur Land, and then there are like three or four water levels, and I'm just like, are you serious? Like, you have the Metro Kingdom, which is awesome, but it's really small. I wish that the whole game was just, like, a giant Metro Kingdom. Like, I would have been way happier. I feel like that's kind of what we were, like, at one point expecting, but that's not at all what we got. And then a little later on, spoilers, people really liked the Bowser level, because they said that it looks like, it felt like a Galaxy level. But I didn't really like Galaxy that much. Like, I wanted everything to be connected. I don't want to get shot from platform to platform. I want to explore an area.
That part of Galaxy I don't like, but I mean, I can see the comparisons. I personally kind of like the Bowser level a lot. Like, it's not my favorite, but it wasn't bad. I mean, I kind of got annoyed by the gimmick that they had for the level, which was, I think, some sort of, like, bird thing that you would fling you across the platforms or whatever to get you to the next area.
And I did like the bird thing.
It got old after a while. It got old.
But yeah, the level's not very conducive to, like, exploring stuff. And it requires you to try and poke around, and the camera sort of gets annoying and stuff like that.
Like, the levels I liked, like the Metro Kingdom and the Luncheon Kingdom, they encouraged exploration. I think the sand level does, too. I forget if it's called the Sand Kingdom.
It's called... It's Mexico.
Tostarina, is it?
Tostarina, yeah. I like those levels that encouraged you to explore. So, yeah, I could see the criticism about the Bowser Kingdom being kind of like that. Being not as exploration-heavy. And also, I kind of thought the boss was annoying. I didn't like the final boss.
Yeah, I thought that boss was the most interesting one of those bunny rabbit bosses that you get. Yeah. So,
the thing, those bunny rabbit bosses, I thought they were like kind of too linear. Like, in a way, I thought those were kind of like, I already know your pattern. Yeah, I figured out your pattern like 3-5 hours ago. I don't need to do it with like three hats.
I figured out their patterns like 2 decades ago.
Yeah.
Like they're very classic Mario enemies, which is like fine.
Yeah, it's Mario pattern.
But the way I played through the game, where I did everything before going to the next one, I got really tired of each level.
Yeah.
Like, I was actually streaming, like, right when it came out, and I just streamed so much of that Mexico level, and I was like, where is the next level? Please, let me out of here. I hate this place.
You could have moved on, though.
I could have, but then I went back and did more stuff, and I was like, are you serious? I'm back here.
Yeah. Yeah, when I 100%ed the Desert Kingdom, I was like, oh, good, I'm glad this is 100%ed. I don't have to come back. I started getting sick of that one too, and a couple of others. But Yeah.
Oh, and don't tell anyone about this, but I definitely cheated a lot with my wedding amiibo. Because Peach gives you 3 extra hearts, so you have 6 hearts. And Bowser just shows you where the purple coins are.
Yeah.
So I do have all the purple coins, and I didn't die very many times in boss battles.
I used the Bowser one a few times, but like that was when I had like 2 or 3 left, and I just couldn't be bothered trying to scour the whole map again just to hopefully happen across them. So I'm glad that existed, because yeah, having 2 or 3 coins left is just really annoying.
Yeah.
I managed to get a job right after the game came out, or no, it was like slightly before, so I didn't have like money to get the amiibo, but I used the other amiibo, and that was kind of helpful. The other amiibo helped you point out where the stars that you didn't get are at. Like, they pointed out on the map. That wasn't so bad.
I should have been using those. I was spending money, not real money, but like coins to use Toad sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at like 100 amiibo right now where I'm sitting. I could have used those.
Yeah, I just used the Toad as well. I was like, I'll give him 50 coins. He deserves it.
I was, like, bogarting my money. I didn't want to give Toad any money, so I'm like, yeah, I'll use my Marth amiibo and see, or my Ness amiibo and see where it took me, or where it would take me on the map.
Yep.
Can we talk about... how often can you use them?
What?
With regular amiibo, how often can you use them?
I think it's once a day.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But yeah.
But what were you saying?
I want to talk about the dog.
The dog?
Yeah, the best part of the game, the dog.
He's not the best part. You can't pet him.
You could play Frisbee with him.
Nintendo invented petting dogs in video games, and yet in any of their recent video games, you cannot pet the dogs. You cannot pet the dogs in Zelda, you cannot pet the dogs in Mario, and you cannot pet the dogs in Animal Crossing.
Aren't the dogs in Animal Crossing, like, anamorphic dogs?
Wouldn't yeah, but weird? You still can't pet them.
Well, yeah, I
you can whack guess. Them on the head with the net, I guess.
Well, I guess when we get to talking about Pokemon, you can pet, like, the cat people, the cat person's starter.
That's probably a good spot to pet transition. The Pokemon,
yeah.
Then, so yeah, I haven't picked up Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon just yet. I haven't been able to, but I do plan on getting it eventually because I skipped Sun and Moon last year. So, yeah, I should probably pick up the upgraded version of it at some point and give it a go. But you guys have actually played a little bit of it, so
yeah.
What are your thoughts generally? I know it's basically the same game.
It's the same game, pretty much, with the same storyline. There's a few new things. Like there's a new, like, space kind of idea with it. There's, like, new... And also about the moon. There's a new storyline about the moon and how it gets covered all the time. And there's more emphasis on the wormholes. There's more... And there's different Pokemon throughout each area. Like, if you liked Sun and Moon, this is a more definitive version with enough different things to where it's probably worth a buy if you're, like, really into Pokemon. But if you, like, casually bought Sun and Moon last year, this probably isn't for you. I mean, think of it like this. If Sun and Moon were red and blue, this is pretty much yellow or emerald.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is like the definitive version of those two games. It's just with more Pokemon and some extra storyline kind of stuff. And I haven't beat the game yet. I'm about probably a little bit halfway through. And I'm sure there's more newer content towards the end. I think there's a battle factory and stuff like that that I haven't gotten into yet. But so far, I mean, it's Pokemon, it's fun, and I always have fun with Pokemon. But a lot of it is retreading and stuff like that. It's very familiar, and So I'm not like in a big rush to complete it, but it's fine for what it is.
I kind of want to try it. At the same time, I'm sort of like, maybe I should just skip over Summer Moon entirely, because like some of the stuff I've heard from people talk about it, like the story is pretty intrusive, and it, you know, the start of the game it takes like a few hours or 4 or 5 hours to really let you free.
I know some of the complaints about X and Y were that the game kind of like held your hand and the friends were everywhere and there's like 50 of them and it kind of drags down the game, and same can be said for this one. And I mean,
you're constantly... Is this one worse? Do you think Sun and Moon are worse in that regard than X and Y?
No.
I would say they're about the same, in my opinion. I wouldn't say it's worse, but I think it's about the same, because you constantly run into your friends, and you constantly run into the professor, and you constantly run into the enemies, and the trial leaders, and the kahunas, and, you know, it's a constant character introductions, and you constantly run into people. So, I mean, if you like the exploration aspect of Pokemon more than the story, I mean, it's kind of a lot of the same from X and Y in that regard.
But with X and Y, when everyone showed up, like, the plot of that game was just that you were on a Pokemon journey, and also all those other people were on a Pokemon journey. But with Sun and Moon, you do run into people a lot, but there is a plot other than you being on a Pokemon journey.
Yeah, that's true.
And you will run into people that feed into the plot, like they have more of a purpose. Mm-hmm. And in X and Y, they're just kind of like, oh yeah, remember, you have friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, in X and Y and in other Pokemon games, the gym leaders you don't talk to that often. You know, there's a lot of characters you don't talk to. In Sun and Moon, the characters are there for a reason, and you run into them a lot. And I forget if the Elite Four has people that you meet during the game. I forget that aspect, but I mean, there are less like just throwaway kind of characters and more characters that are central to your adventure and to the plot.
Yeah,
like in each town, there instead of a gym leader, there's a trial captain. Yeah. And I just finished the first trial, so it's like in my mind, fresh in my mind right now. But that guy, he is the top student at the Pokemon school that you start at. He paints all the fences. His family has a big mansion there. Like, you run into him a lot. He's like the main character of that town, kind of like how the anime does a character of the day. Yeah. Each of the trial captains is like they kind of lead you through that part of the plot. Like they kind of go away after their trial, but they're active in their town.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You see them a lot. And then once you beat them, they kind of just like some disappear. Some you kind of see again later, maybe, but most of them just kind of disappear. But
well, I think you can fight them all again after at the end of the game in Sun and Moon, I think. Like, maybe. They're just at their house, and they're like, yeah, we can battle again.
I think so, yeah. I think I remember that.
But if you skip Sun and Moon, then you're, like, the perfect person to play Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. Because it seems like, so far, it seems really similar, just they talk more, as far as I can tell. Maybe I just forgot a lot of the throwaway dialogue from Sun and Moon, but it seems like they are more interested. Like, they replayed the game, and they were like, oh, it'd be interesting if, like, Lily was standing here and had lots of things to say.
Yeah.
And, oh my gosh, Lily is this girl, in the opening cutscene, she escapes from some mysterious place with some shadowed face in her bag, and it's quickly revealed that that's, like, a cloud Pokemon that lives in her bag. She won't keep it in a Pokeball. She's not a Pokemon trainer. And it just escapes from her bag all the time. And I'd forgotten how overdone that joke was in the game.
What's Cosmog's nickname? It's like, get in the
Nebby.
Bag.
Nebby, get in the bag.
Nebby, get in the bag.
within like the first 30 minutes. I'd almost forgotten about that joke. I had forgotten his name was Nebby too.
I can't forget it because it's like every time I run into them. It's like, get in the bag, Nebby.
Yeah, she keeps reminding you, like, I'm Lily and this is Nebby. Oh, Nebby's not in the bag. But like within the first 30 minutes of the game, I've met her. Nebby was out of the bag and I saved Nebby. And then we come down a cliff and she's like, oh, I keep Nebby in a bag. And Nebby is behind her, like floating away. And it's just like, it's a little sillier than any other Pokemon plot has ever been.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of hard to find like international kids humor, but they sure try.
I kind of like her story though. I at least like she progresses throughout the story, and by the end, I don't want to spoil it, but
let's just say she wears a different white outfit a little later.
Sure.
That's about the most progression that anyone has ever had in Pokemon anime or games.
Well, I guess, but no, I mean like she become. Well, I don't want to spoil it, but she does become a trainer by the end, I guess, or she wants to be at least. So it's a nice story, I think.
Oh yeah,
yeah, okay.
It's I forgot about that. I would like to talk about the ending, but yeah, maybe we should beat it before we talk about the ending.
Yeah, because I don't even know what they did for the ending this time.
Yeah, because I read that people saying the ending is quite a bit different, or there's more stuff added to it, or something.
Probably. So.
Yeah. Sun and Moon had the same problem for me as X and Y, where they just ended.
Yeah. X and Y, definitely. I mean, like, you get to that island part in the postgame, that's it.
Mm.
And yeah, for Sun and Moon, I think there's some episodes with Looker. I think that's it.
Yeah, I mean, those are just go catch Pokemon. Yeah. Like, there are rare Pokemon in the wild.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it for at least Sun and Moon.
Oh,
I think
no.
Ultra Sun and Moon have more lengthier post-game stuff.
But for Ultra Sun and Moon, there is one major addition that I don't understand what it is yet, but every once in a while, you'll come around a corner, and there will be two robots, one which has a mustache, talking to each other about energy, and their names are both ? And they're talking about energy and how they need the president's permission to go into caves and stuff. And it's like, ooh.
Oh, those guys, yeah. Yeah, that's yeah,
the robot. How did you forget the robot with the mustache?
I didn't forget.
Yeah, what? I don't know what they're doing.
It was like those weird encounters with that spooky girl or something in X and Y. You just going through a door and there'd be like a scene.
Was that ever explained? I thought that was creepy.
I have no idea. I have no idea if it was ever explained.
It was never explained.
Yeah.
But I guess in one of them, I think in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, one of the Elite Four members was a ghost type trainer.
Yeah.
And when it was
Phoebe?
Maybe. And when it was fading out to like go into her battle, that girl was sitting in one of the chairs in the background.
Oh, I think that was like a glitch or something.
No, it was the spooky girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
According to a video that I watched on the internet, that is probably, you know, well sourced.
That's weird.
But I hope that they explain that. There's something else that I wanted them to explain.
So yeah, I guess we'll wrap up the Sun and Moon talk there, if you guys are sort of done with that.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
I'm only about a little bit over halfway through, so I don't have any more thoughts on it at the moment.
We might come back. I think you guys have reconvinced me to try and buy it soon. Because I was
I do have one last thing I want to mention that I noticed. Pretty early in the game, you go to a house where, the dad is like, oh, when my son misbehaved, I beat him. And there are like broken golf clubs in the corner and his son ran away. Yeah. And you go into the son's room, and for some reason, you lie in everyone's bed and smell it, and then,
yeah,
like...
What the heck is that about?
I don't know, but it smelled like the sadness of a bed that hadn't been slept in a long time.
Wow.
And he had all these dusty trophies, and then I noticed that back in the corner of his room, he had a Wii U.
Wow.
I just thought that was funny, because the main character now has a Switch.
Yeah.
But the abused boy has a sad, dusty Wii U in the corner.
Yeah, go play Mario Maker.
it's a metaphor for Wii torture U, levels. That whole section.
But yeah, this movie.
Yeah, okay, we'll transition to the movie now. So I saw it like 2.5 weeks ago or something. So I'm starting to forget some of the stuff. But I don't know, Adam, why don't you start?
Oh, okay. For some reason, this movie was marketed to old school fans.
Yeah.
But it was not for us.
No.
I don't know. It kind of is.
It did not. It, like the first 10 minutes, maybe.
They tried to have their cake and eat it, I think.
Well, after the intro screen, it's like this completely different adventure that Ash had in Kanto that has no relation to anything going on in Kanto, and it's all about finding friends he's never seen before and trying to find Ho-Oh. I mean, like, it doesn't, like, as far as nostalgia goes, this movie did not appeal to me at all. So, I mean, it's, it just didn't appeal to me, like, in a nostalgic way, because they didn't do anything related to, I mean, there are some things, like the Charmander stuff was kind of based on what happened in the anime, and the Butterfree stuff too.
So, like, I was enjoying the movie up until probably, like, I don't know, a third of the way in or something, and I thought the whole middle section was bad. It really dragged. It made the movie feel like it was dragging for ages and ages, and then it sort of, you know, picks up again towards the end. Because, like, I think the whole middle of the movie is meant to, you know, take place over several months. It's like taking scenes from an alternate universe's season 1 of Pokemon, like the anime series, and cutting it down to a 90-minute movie. It's not like Ash and his new friends go off on an adventure that lasts, like, a day or so. Like, it's like this long build up to, like, finding Ho-Oh and stuff. They replace Misty and Brock with these two new characters, which, like, I don't know. I didn't mind them, but at the same time, like, what's the point? You may as well have just redone the, like, characterization for Misty and Brock if you wanted to make it
these characters
different.
They felt like background characters almost. Like, they're just there to say, like, yeah, Ash. Sure, Ash, go do this. Like, kind of, they're kind of like background characters that supported Ash throughout the movie so he could have someone to talk to.
Well, that's they what were they there like. To let old relapsed fans know just how bad the character designs have gotten. Because they were, like, really boring, but they had stupid hair. And then, like, the rival is, like, a demon who beat his Charmander and left him out in the rain and has a big, stupid X bangs in his face, and his name, of course, is Cross. And he has a Lycanroc that follows him around that I don't think battled at all throughout the entire movie.
Towards the end, he attacked him. Because the rare Pokemon of the movie, like, possessed him.
Oh, yeah. This movie is about Marshadow for some reason. Marshadow, but it has nothing to do with Marshadow. Yeah. They were just like, oh no.
They should have gotten rid of the Marshadow subplot and just made it all about.
Well, that's what the movies are about, though. The focus is always on the special rare Pokemon.
You get a code for the Pokemon.
Yeah. But I watched this on Disney XD, so
I didn't get it. Code was at GameStop in the U.S. Like, yeah. And I guess the
I got a Pokemon card. I got the Ash's Pikachu Pokemon card.
I got four of them.
Promo card.
I got
four of them.
I got one in Pokemon Go.
You got one? I got lots. I got a Pichu. I got a Raichu.
I got a lot of Witch's Hat Pikachus.
Did you get event. Farfetch'd?
Yeah.
What? Farfetch'd is out right now. Only for 48 hours.
I know.
I caught two of them at my house last night.
I asked... My brother told me it ended on December 1st.
No, it's only like today and tomorrow.
Oh. It was at the library too. And I'm going to yell at him later.
Anyway.
But yeah, so the code that comes with the Ash's Pikachu... No, the code, the QR code to get Ash's Pikachu in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, I guess is the same for everyone. So you can just, like, find it online.
Yeah, I could probably find it online. It's not that hard to find rare Pokemon if you...
I mean, I got four of them. I could mail you one.
Just okay. Send me one.
Okay.
Online. If you want.
But yeah, talking about the movie again.
Okay, can I just, run down the plot of the movie for anyone who doesn't want to see it.
Okay, yeah, go sure, over okay. The
it's basic very basic.
Yeah.
So the first 10 minutes of the movie is a retelling of the first episode where Ash meets Pikachu and fights off the Spearow. Only it's in the weird sterile animation of the newer episodes and not of the fun hand drawn animation of the old one.
Well, it doesn't look like Sun and Moon. It looks closer to,
It looks like
stuff.
X and Y.
Doesn't look like season like X one. And Y stuff. That's for sure.
No, but season one looks off model compared to later on too.
But I guess I just want to say it opens with the worst CG bird I've ever seen flying through a ravine and then goes to the Pokemon League and Ash is watching it on TV or whatever. But anyways, he finds Pikachu and then it does a time skip over a remake of the original theme song. And then he's like, oh yeah, I just beat Erica. I got my third badge, which old fans will remember. Erica was the fourth badge after Lieutenant Surge.
I know.
Wait.
Yeah, where was Lieutenant Surge?
Did they say the third badge?
Erica,
yes.
Erica was not.
Yes, I remember that. I'm like, where the heck
he's
is Lieutenant
Surge? He's off fighting
Surge?
In a war.
Well, yeah, I guess it's possible that Ash went to that one.
No, because you have to get cut, and you can't use cut yet.
Surge.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's true.
So, they just, breezed past Brock and Misty. They weren't even in, the montage. They just didn't happen.
I was disappointed. They didn't even they should have had Ash dressed up as a girl.
Yeah, they retconned Drag Ash.
To sneak into the...
they got rid of that, too.
And the...
Yeah. Because he didn't insult the gym leader.
So somehow Ash got three badges, and the only Pokemon he had were Pikachu and Caterpie.
Yeah. Because they didn't Squirtle and Bulbasaur.
And Charmander wasn't until
movie.
After he beat Erica. He could have used Charmander.
Yeah, halfway. Well, not halfway, but
He goes to this Pokemon Center after he beats Erica, and he's talking to his mom on the phone, and she's like, "You never talk to me." And for some reason, he has it on speakerphone, and she's so loud, and all the other anime characters are laughing at him, ha ha ha, your mom. And then some dude comes in, and his Pokemon is, dying, and he's like, I fought an Entei. And everyone's like, what? We're gonna go fight Entei. And this guy's like, but my Pokemon is dying. You shouldn't go fight Entei. So Ash runs off, and he's like, I found it. And then this girl is like, I found it. And then this dude is like, I found it. And all three of them fight Entei, and they all get destroyed because they're children. And then Entei...
I found that really funny in the battle, though. The girl character that Ash teams up with her is like, Piplup, go! Attack Entei!
Yeah.
Come on.
She has a Piplup,
really
and the
gonna
dude
work.
Has a Lucario, because they want to remind you that Gen 4 is a thing, for whatever reason.
Yeah, he's from Twinleaf
I really
Town.
Hope that we don't get a fucking Gen 4 port to Switch, because Gen 4 is the worst gen.
I hope so. I like that.
We definitely will.
I like those games.
All right, well, you have fun. I'm going to sell my Switch. I'll mail you my Switch.
I am.
cool. So, yeah, they lose to Entei, and he runs off, and then that's where Ash meets those, you know, his companion
but
characters.
But the dude
basically is
like, it's going to rain. And they're like, it's not going to rain. And then it starts raining. So they run off and they find this Charmander and he's in the rain. And they're like, Charmander's in the rain. And then Cross comes out with his big stupid X on his forehead and is like, Charmander is weak. I'm French from Kalos for some reason. Is he from Kalos or was he from Alola? I think he was from Kalos. But he had...
The Cross guy had...
He had an Alolan Pokemon, but I think he said he was from Kalos.
And he had it in Incineroar.
I think he said he was from Kalos.
And both of those are from Sun and Moon. So I'm guessing he's from Alola.
I think he said he was from Kalos. But it doesn't matter because he's garbage and he had better not return to the series. So they take this Charmander and they run into a random cave. And guess who's in the cave? The dude who said it was going to rain. And Entei. And Entei comes in with all the Pokemon from the forest, and they're all just sleeping there. And then Ash pulls out this feather that Ho-Oh dropped, and he's like, oh, look at my cool feather. And then, of course, Marshadow is just also in the cave. Everyone is in this cave. And Marshadow's whole thing is that it corrupts people who have this wing, this rainbow wing, the feather. So luckily, Ash was in the wrong cave and pulled it out to show his friends. So Marshadow just starts following them around and does pretty much nothing. And then after that, they're in a town and they're fighting someone and Charmander evolves into Charmeleon. And then Cross shows up and is like, I'm going to fight you. And Ash is like, I'm going to win.
Well, one thing I should mention is that they don't mention any of the towns after like the first 10 minutes.
There's towns that just... Random
I think they're between Kanto and Johto. I think in those mountains.
I don't even know.
But you're right, they're not very specific about where it's going, where they are and stuff.
They're just
somewhere. Going off the Entei thing as well. I just found it really sort of what's the point? I mean, all the legendary dogs have their little scene throughout the movie and I'm like, this could have cut.
Yeah,
all
I wouldn't
that.
Call just them scenes. Just, those are cameos.
Not needed. The cameras,
Raikou. Are they in out?
Raikou.
Yeah.
Raikou.
Raikou. Whatever. Yeah, I saw that one. I didn't.
Yep, we're getting to that point.
There? Yeah, but only Verity.
Oh, I don't know the other children.
Only Verity sees.
Please don't teach them to me.
One of them's Verity, the girl, and the other one's starts with an S. It's weird.
Yeah, I can't remember that one now.
It's Sucky.
I don't know.
Oh. He wants to be a professor.
Never see him again.
They're in this town and they fight Cross and Ash just gets destroyed because he only has one Pokemon. It's his Charmeleon. And he loses to this guy's Incineroar and this guy's like, that Charmander will always be weak. And they Charmeleon gets really hurt and breaks a wall or something. And then Ash is all sad and he runs off into the forest and Marshadow corrupts him. Because, of course, no child would be sad about losing unless they were corrupted by an evil demon. So he's like, oh, I wish I would have picked Squirtle. And Pikachu hears him and is sad. And then he's like, oh, this is Charmeleon's fault that we lost. If only he was stronger. And Charmeleon could hear him through his Pokeball and he was sad. And then Ash falls asleep in a tree and forgets that Pokemon exists and has a dream where he is in a Japanese school and is like, what? I had a best friend, but I forgot what he was. And he sees all these yellow squiggles running around. He's like, that was my best friend. I forgot what they were. But I don't think anyone on Earth will ever forget what Pokemon are just because it's a pretty big franchise that has been around forever.
Plus all these people, all they talk
about.
Yeah,
even in the
Pokemon.
Games. Like every NPC.
Yeah, but
talking about real life. Stuff. I mean, all Ash and everyone that Ash comes across, all they do is talk about Pokemon all day.
So then he wakes up and his friends are like, it's okay, we forgive you unconditionally because that's how human beings work. And then they go to sleep and then the girl wakes up.
I think they do a few scenes here, right? It's sort of meant to show time passing. It's where you get the Suicune scene and stuff and you get Butterfree happening and
This is the garbage part, right? Where the girl wakes up and sees Suicune and then goes back to bed and then wakes up in the morning and is like, I saw Suicune! And even though they all have cell phones for some reason and they're all taking pictures and stuff, she doesn't take a picture of Suicune. So it made me so mad. I think she was on her phone at the time and she looked up and there was Suicune.
Did Did you catch who Cynthia. Her mother was?
I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah. I didn't realize that until I looked at the Wikipedia.
She said that her mother was famous.
I'm like, that she
and the only famous person from Diamond and Pearl is Cynthia, because the internet is obsessed with her for some reason.
Yeah, pretty much.
So then they go up the mountain some more, and they find a girl, Butterfree, and they save her. But Butterfree does not leave then. Instead, they go farther, and they see all the Butterfrees. Oh, and Team Rocket is there for some reason, but they never interact with Team Rocket.
They don't do anything. Crap in this film. They see their lines and then
they don't even make
or
puns.
They fall off the cliff or, yeah.
They don't say the motto. They don't do any
puns. They
don't
even do the song.
When they say it looks like Team Rocket is blasting off again, they change it every time. I don't even think they say it looks like Team Rocket is blasting off again. Like, they say variations on it.
You kind of have to change it up after like.
Not if you're retelling the first episode. So.
True.
Then they go up the mountain, Butterfree goes, it's like 10 minutes, and then they go a little more up the mountain, and Raikou, as they say it, is just standing on a cliff, and they're like, oh wow, another one off the checklist. And there are all these other Pokemon, and then this old man comes out of nowhere and is like, I'm gonna tell you everything that you already read in the book that I wrote earlier.
And isn't he wearing like the cap that Red wears?
Yeah, he's wearing Red's hat, which is like,
which is
weird.
Oh,
are we supposed to, like, assume it was, like, Red?
I hope not.
I don't really know. He didn't really act like Red, so... Maybe he killed Red and took
his hat. Or maybe it was just a popular hat in the 90s.
sure.
I guess there's more than one hat in the world, yeah.
So they go up the mountain, and when they get up there, all the Pokemon... Like, it's like the Pokerap. Every single Pokemon is waiting on the cliffs, watching to meet Ho-Oh. Just so everyone can get a cameo. And Ash is supposed to go put his feather on some magic rock, and he gets up there and he's about to do it, but no, Cross shows up, and he's mean, and they have a Pokemon battle, and Charmeleon evolves into Charizard, and then Cross gets the feather and turns it evil and puts it there, and then Marshadow is evil also and turns all the Pokemon evil, and they all have to fight all the Pokemon. Oh my god, I forgot about the ending. It's so bad. And then all the Pokemon are fighting, and Ash, because he's really stupid, is like, no, Pikachu, don't fight, and he gets in the way of his Pokemon, and is like, I'll protect you.
He gets, like, Hyper Beamed, like, 5 times.
Yeah, and every time he gets Hyper Beamed, he keeps dying more and more, and he's like, Pikachu, get in the Pokeball! Why won't you get in the Pokeball? And Pikachu, spoilers, turns to him and says, because I always want to be with you! And everyone in the movie theater is like, what the fuck? This is so stupid.
Did you see that viral video?
No, that happened in my context, theater. It was bad.
I saw the viral video.
It's like a dream.
I saw it on Disney XD, so I didn't see it.
I'm sure that...
It's not like Pikachu actually spoke.
I'm sure that on Saturday night, when it aired on Disney XD, if you listened closely, you could hear children crying. It was just, like, weird. Like, we get it. After 20 years, like, we get it. But also, like, in the games, Pokemon are happy to be in their Pokeballs, walking around with you because they're with you, but whatever. So, anyways, then Ash is dead, and he's like, oh, I'm fine! And he's looking at Pikachu, and Pikachu's crying, and he looks around, and everyone is crying, and he's like, oh, no, everyone is crying. And then a magic portal opens in front of him, and he starts running through every set from the movie for some reason. And he runs through all these fields and towns and, like, everywhere that they went through the movie. And then there's a portal at the end and he comes through it. So apparently, if you die, guys, just run through a bunch of portals and you'll come back to exactly where you were. And then everyone is happy and fine. And I think Cross's Pokemon turn on him or something, and Marshadow goes away.
I think Lycanroc at least turns.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't get possessed anymore.
And Cross happily ever after, I guess. And then Ho-Oh shows up and heals them all so that Ho-Oh and Pikachu can have a Pokemon battle. And then Ash walks it.
Because we all know how well that would go.
It does not go well because Ash walks into the Pokemon Center with dying Pikachu, smiling like an idiot. And Pikachu is also smiling like an idiot, even though he's dying. He goes up to Nurse Joy and is like, I need healing. We just fought a Ho-Oh. And she's like, that's nice. What? Like, the worst, most overused joke in the whole world. And then it's over. I don't mean the movie. I mean my childhood and my time at the Pokemon franchise is... I'm done.
So dramatic.
Yeah, this was aimed... This was, like, I don't know if you would say marketed, but this was, like, supposed to aim towards people... Or to the 20th anniversary of the Pokemon anime, and the first 10 minutes kind of did that with Ash, you know, getting up late, going to Professor Oak, running across the Sparrow, and there's some aspects of the anime, like the Caterpie stuff and the and a few other things, and seeing Ho-Oh, Charmander. And Butterfree and all that.
I would have cut all the Butterfree stuff. It was useless.
Yeah, he didn't need Butterfree. Like, he didn't use Butterfree.
No. But, I mean, if this was, like, supposed to be marketed towards people who watched those episodes, like, 20 years ago, I think they would not like this.
Because we didn't like this.
It was, like, a completely different thing, and just did not...
I mean,
It didn't itch the nostalgia... I think that's what I'm trying to say. It just didn't.
Yeah. I didn't mind the movie overall. Like, it was okay to me. I mean, it sort of was kind of good having a little bit of new stuff, I guess, but at the same time, I just don't understand the mindset of making it
like this. I mean, like, what was the
purpose? They could have made this movie a lot bigger than what it was if it was sort of more, I don't know, catering to the, original crowd a bit more. Like, they didn't have to redo the whole start of the story. They could have even done, like, oh, this is, like, a lost chapter of what actually happened somewhere in the series, but, like, they didn't show it originally.
Yeah.
It's, like, a new adventure with Misty and Brock and all that sort of thing. And put it in the same continuity as the original show. That might have gone down better.
And I'm not even saying, like, do scene-from-scene stuff from the anime, but I mean, They omitted a lot of characters, or they put them as background characters or cameos, and they just kind of did their own thing with a bunch of other Pokemon that weren't there in the Indigo League series. And they just kind of just did their own thing with Marshadow and all this
other stuff. And they didn't even have the best character in the movie.
Who's the best character? Samurai! Do you know what? This filmmaking was novice. No, but I think there was just, like, some corporate directive that was like, okay, this movie needs to celebrate the 20th anniversary. It needs to remind people of Gen 4 because they're probably going to do remakes. It needs to remind people of Ho-Oh because Ho-Oh is going to come to Pokemon Go soon. It needs to tell people about Marshadow because Marshadow is coming out. Like, it's the Marshadow movie. And this is what they came up with, you know?
That may be it. Because I have no idea why you would market a game or market a movie towards it being the 20th anniversary of the Pokemon series and you do this.
I think it was because of Ho-Oh. Like, someone was like, Ho-Oh's coming, you need to get Ho-Oh in the movie. And they were like, oh, Ash met Ho-Oh, let's do that again. Oh, let's do this and this and this. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. They could have even kept, like I said, they could have even kept the same storyline, same stuff happening, but, like, at least include, like, original companions and not make up two new ones, which is just weird.
Yeah, the whole thing reminded me of why I stopped watching the anime. I stopped watching the anime with Diamond and Pearl and the whole voice change, because it wasn't just a voice change, it was also, like, a tone change. It went from being, like... Yeah. I mean, I love the original Pokemon, but they just put puns in because they didn't know how to translate this stuff. But everything in Diamond and Pearl is, like, so on brand and not, like, fun. Like, it didn't feel punny anymore.
Yeah.
But puns really resonated with me as a child and as an adult. And this just reminded me that the Pokemon show is not what I grew up with. And bringing in...
Yeah, I kind of stopped watching after the Indigo League. Like, it's just kind of like the same thing over and over again. Each time with a new game, it's like... Yeah, Ash meets people, meets characters of the day, goes to the gym, sometimes loses, he loses the Pokemon League, and he starts over. That's kind of been like the same thing for the last 20 years.
It used to be okay, because it wouldn't take itself seriously. It would make jokes about the plot or Pokemon's names. But now it's like, it's written by corporate, you know, it's written by the Pokemon Company, translated by the Pokemon Company. So it's, they like are scared to make jokes about how stupid some of the Pokemon names are.
And they can't have the, you know, lasting continuity because they need to reboot it every couple of years, basically. I mean, like, the original series was sort of like, had, you know, it had forward progression up until like the end of Johto, I think. And then it started, it slowed down on that sort of stuff. They even recreated the scene where Misty and Brock and Ash parted ways at the end of the movie. But with the new characters instead, like they all go on that separate ways on the paths, different pathways and stuff.
Oh boy, did that make me angry.
But I was going to say, with the director of this movie, I think I read something a while back that basically said that this director likes putting, you know, doing this to franchises. Like he's done a similar move, like with the alternate universe and like changing elements and stuff to some other anime or whatever franchise before. So it's not like a new thing. Like this guy might just like, you know, trying to do his own thing with established brands. I don't know. I'd have to look into that again, but like, yeah, the director of this might have actually, you know, purposely excluded elements just because.
Another reason that I felt that this movie was not for people my age is as I was going to the theater, you know, I saw Thor, like a little bit before I saw this movie, and I thought it was so awesome. I was really jazzed on it. And I was walking into the theater, this bro and these two children. The children were talking about Thor, and I asked the guy, I was like, oh, are you going to see Thor? And he was like, no, he already saw it. I haven't seen it. We're going to go see Pokemon. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, you should see Thor, dude. Like, it's really good. And he was like, oh yeah, it's good. And I was like, yeah, it's funny. It's like, not like a super boring superhero movie. Like, it's fun. It's a good time. And he was like, oh, cool. And then, like, one of the kids asked me, like, whoa, what movie are you going to go see? And I was like, I'm going to go see Pokemon. And they're like, oh, me too. And then when they were leaving, they're like, we'll see you in there. And he was like, pulling them away, like, come on, let's go. And I was like, oh my god, like, I should not be seeing this movie alone with a mustache. Like, this is this is a bad look. So I didn't even feel comfortable going to the movie theater to see it. I mean, they missed the mark on this one.
Yeah, I'm just fine watching it on TV, but
I went to the 7 o'clock at night session, and it was like 15 people in the theater.
See, I saw it on the Monday of the second weekend, which was the last showing, which is why they gave me extra cards when I asked.
Well, yeah, that's the best time to ask.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, overall for me, it was fine. But like not what I was expecting going in and not what I wanted. But I mean, it's a standard Pokemon movie formula with the mystery bad guy you can't get of the like rare Pokemon of the movie. That's what most of the movies are centered around, so it's not really a surprise, but whatever. It was fine.
I mean, if you want to see a good Pokemon movie, I recommend everyone check out Pokemon the Movie 8, Lucario and the Mystery of Mew. Okay. Wait, you've never seen it?
Okay.
Honestly, last Pokemon movie I saw was the Celebi one.
Oh, the Celebi one is garbage.
Mm. Forever.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that one is not good. It's got the song.
I don't mind the Celebi one.
La, 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 la.
It's got young Professor Oak.
Oh my god, I forgot about that. But no, Lucario and the Mystery
dodgy,
of Mew.
Dodgy Pokeball.
Lucario and the Mystery of Mew is like excellent. It's a great film. I think I read once that it was like the highest second grossing film in Japan the year it came out, or animated film in Japan. But it's really good.
Okay, well, I think we'll leave it there. Thanks, guys, for talking about Pokemon with me.
Yeah, anytime. I love Pokemon.
No problem. Pokemon's awesome. I love the I always make sure I play each mainline game. So yeah.
Yeah. mean, we might have to only wait like a year and a half and we get the next one, so yep. On the Switch. So that'll be cool, hopefully.
I think it'll be cool. I am hoping it's something different.
Yeah.
X was a big leap from black and white, in my opinion. I know some people don't feel like that.
Giant that leap backwards. I'm hoping
for a bigger... I liked X and Y. I didn't like Black and White. But yeah, I'm hoping that there's a bigger leap between X and Y and this game. I'm hoping for something different.
Well, prepare to be disappointed, because I really think that we're going to get a pretty basic Gen 4 remake on Switch. Because it seems...
I think that might be the first game. Like,
I think we will. Yeah. I think it's a really easy thing to just sort of pump out in a year.
Maybe.
I don't know. They've never done that before. Led on a new platform with a remake.
That's true.
But they only have a year to make it. Remember at E3, they were like, they called us and asked us to make a Switch game.
They've been working on it since last year, though.
At E3, they announced, like, we're making a Pokemon game, I guess, and they had nothing to show us. No concept art.
Pre-production would have started once Sun and Moon shipped.
No, they said they were waiting to see the Switch's launch numbers. This game just started development.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see this game until maybe...
2019.
Wait, no, they said...
Yeah, I mean, like, for a release date, I think, 2019, for, like, a first look... I think with the last few games, they haven't even shown it at E3. It's always been like a Direct. So whenever they announce a Direct, we'll see it.
All right. So if anyone wants to comment or send us questions, you can email connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com or send a tweet on Twitter, which is @connectivitynwr. Or just the talk back to this episode. I think that's it. So thanks again, everyone, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks with a new episode. So bye for now.
Bye.
Later. I wanna be the very best. No one ever was. Pass them is my real test. Train them is my cause. I will travel across the land, searching far and wide. Each Pokemon to understand the power that's inside. It's you and me. I know it's my destiny. Who am I? Ooh, you're my best friend. In the world we must defend. Right.